الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار My dear brothers and sisters and elders, this is the month of Ramadan al-Kareem and it is a month of dua. It is a month of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for whatever we wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this month, the ayat which we all know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Which means, O you who believe, fasting, siyam has been made fard on you, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, in order that you may become muttaqun. It is true that Ramadan al-Kareem enhances, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enhances the thawab, the reward of the deeds. It is true that we get 70 times the reward for every fard. It is true that we get the reward of a fard for every nafl. It is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chained the shayateen and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the doors of Jannah open and the doors of Jahannam shut. And all the fada'il of Ramadan. But that is not the reason for Ramadan. The fada'il are the frills, they are the benefits. That is not the reason. The Ramadan did not come to make fard equal to 70. Ramadan did not come to make the nafil equal to the fard. Why did Ramadan come? La'allakum tattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent this month and we prescribe this fasting on you so that you may become muttaqun. Who is a muttaqi? A muttaqi is the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he fears to offend, he fears to disobey, he fears to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. A muttaqi is the one about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, and the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. So who is a muttaqi? A muttaqi is the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that equal to that love is his fear of offending the one he loves. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is fear of offending the one I love the most. Now when the muttaqi, when the person is making effort to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the person is making effort to increase his taqwa, when the person is making effort to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build his ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this ayat, which I recited before you. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. This ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah is in the middle of the ayat relating to fasting. And it is very logical that this should be so, because when the person has developed taqwa and is in the process of developing taqwa, is concerned about taqwa, is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously he wants to know his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. He wants to build a connection with his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah said, when my slave asks about me, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slave asks about me, he's only asking. He hasn't yet got an answer. He hasn't yet built a connection. He hasn't yet got the kibriyai and the azmat and the glory and awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. He is only at the first step. He is only asking, who is Allah? He is only asking, what is the greatness of Allah? What are the signs of Allah? But the mercy and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that Allah says, when my slave asks about me, I am near to him. Inni qareeb, verily I am close to him. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an, let him ask me, I will give him. Ajib, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He hasn't done anything, he is only asking. Allah says, let him ask me, whatever he wants, I will give. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an, fal yastajibu li wal yu'minu bi. Two conditions. Every promise in the Quran is conditional. There is nowhere in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about anything to say, do nothing but I will give you. Nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the Hadith. Alhamdulillah, we've got many basharas where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do a little bit, I will give you more. Let the slave come to me walking, I will come to him running. Let him come to me the span of his hand, and I will come to him the span of the arm, and so on. But Allah did not say, let him do nothing but I will go to him. No. Some effort must be made. So now here is the muttaqi, here is the person who wants to be a muttaqi, is making some effort, he is fasting in Ramadan al-Kareem. He's praying, he's making qiyam, he's reading Quran, and so on and so forth. He's asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ujibu da'wata da'i da'dan, fal yastajibu li wal yu'minu bi la'allahum yarshudun. Let him obey me and let him have faith in me. Let him obey me. First condition of acceptance of dua is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot be on a path of deliberate disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expect du'as to be accepted. And the second condition is, have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as, but we don't have patience. We ask something, and after some time we ask this thing several times, then we give up and we say, I asked so many times, nothing is happening. No. Have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Order, that's a hukum. Make dua, ask me and I will give you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised punishment for the one who has takabbur and who does not make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any conditions for making dua. You know, for all other ibadat, because dua is ibadah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dua huwa al-ibadah." He said, "Ad-dua mukhu al-ibadah." He said, "Dua is ibadah." He said, "Dua is the brain of the ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah." As you know, for every ibadah, there are some preconditions. For example, you want to do salah, you have to make wudu. Tahara has to be there. You must make wudu. If you want to go for hajj, you have to be in ihram. If you want to fast, then you have to make the niyat before the time for fasting starts. So there are conditions for all ibadat. The only ibadah for which there is no condition is dua. You can make dua in any situation. Tahara or no tahara. Standing, sitting, lying down, running, walking, driving. Any situation that you are in. There are no conditions for dua. You can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. And this makes eminent sense, because if a person when do you really need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In an emergency, when suddenly something has happened and you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time, where is the time to go make wudu and put on ihram and this and that? I need to ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Uduni, ask me. Astajib lakum, I will give you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now you might say, well, you know, how much will Allah give? In the Hadith of Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if all of mankind and all the jinn, from the first one created to the last one created. Now just think about this. Every man and every jinn means what? It means every single person who was created. It means including all the anbiya, including all the kings, including all the poor people, the rich people, everyone. From the first one created to the last one created, from Adam alayhi salam to the last one who is created. If all the men and all the jinn get together in one place, in one maidan, and if they simultaneously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single desire that they can imagine. They are all asking, and they are all asking for every single thing. That which I really want, that which I don't really want, whatever, every single desire. If they all get together in one place and simultaneously if they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single thing that they desire, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them all of that at once, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says, it will not decrease from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even as much as the water on the tip of a needle if it is dipped into the ocean and brought out. Ajib. So what is your dua, what is my dua? If every creation, everything gathers together in one place, asks Allah at the same time, Allah gives everything at the same time, still it is not even equal to. Allah did not say it's equal to that. It's not even equal to the water that will be on the tip of a needle if it is dipped into the ocean and brought up. My brothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam into the world, He gave him a key. He gave him a key to come back to Jannah. Now what is that key? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That key is dua. And in dua, that key is istighfar. I remind myself and you, let us make a lot of istighfar. Because this key came for Adam alayhi salam, this key is for all of us. How do we get to Jannah? Through the maghfirat and through the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed His kalam and the tartib of the kalam, what is the first surah? Surah Al-Fatiha. What is Surah Al-Fatiha? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Dua. Surah Al-Fatiha is dua. In many cases in the Sharia, Surah Al-Fatiha is recited as a dua. The rukun of the salah, without which no salah is valid. If somebody does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in any rakat of the salah is invalid. Something which is that critical and that important is dua. And in that dua, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us before asking this dua? What did Allah say? What did Allah tell us to say before we say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. What is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The slave comes into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He praises and glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The first ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise, all thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer of the universe. Who is He? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most merciful, the most beneficent. Maliki Yawmiddin, the one who I have to go before. the one who owns the Day of Judgment. And then, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. The slave is building the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I'm yours. I don't worship anyone other than you. I don't ask for help from anyone other than you. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. I don't make shirk with you. I do not join anyone with you because there is no one with you. He's building a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not only giving us the dua, but teaching us how to make this dua. Before you go and ask, give me this, who are you? Introduce yourself. Ya Allah, I'm yours. I belong to you. And then, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide me to the path of steadfastness. Please notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say at that point in time, Allah, inna nas'aluka al-jannah. No. That is the destination. You will reach the destination only if you are on the right path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this dunya is alamul asbab. The alam of kasab, the alam of work, of amal. So ask for guidance to the right path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Istiqamat. Steadfastness on the path of righteousness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to accept all your du'as and to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, as I said, Ramadan al-Kareem is the month for dua, so let us make a lot of dua. Allah did not put any conditions on dua. Allah did not put any conditions on what we should ask. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything you want. Whatever, Allah did not put any conditions. Who am I to put any conditions? Ask for yourself, ask for your families, ask for your community, ask for your countries, ask for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask for the whole world and everyone it contains. Please understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us Muslimin to make dua for whom? For everyone. Allah did not send you as a Muslim to make dua only for yourself and your family. Allah sent you as Muslimin to make dua for yourself and your family, for your community, for the Muslims. He also made you and sent you to make dua for the Buddhist and for the Christian, and for the Hindu, and for the Sikh, and for the atheist, and for whoever in the world. Who is going to make dua for them? You. Because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can the one who does not recognize Allah make dua for himself? You have to make dua for him. Who will pray for the guidance of those people? You will pray. And why will you pray? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for the guidance of the people who were not Muslim. Who prayed for the guidance to Quraysh? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for the guidance to Quraysh. Who prayed for the guidance of those who were hell-bent on destroying Islam and on killing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed and made dua for them. He made dua for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud, One of the kuffar took a sling and he threw a stone, and that stone hit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his blessed head. Some links of his chainmail went into his blessed head. Today people say that maybe there was a kind of hairline fracture or something as well. His teeth were shaheed. He was bleeding profusely. Because all facial and scalp wounds tend to bleed very much more than other places anyway. He, as a result of this concussion, he even temporarily, he did not lose consciousness completely, but he went into a sort of daze. And that is when some people thought he had passed away. So when he came to, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the limit. This is the limit. There can be nothing worse than this, because you are the Nabi and you have done no harm to these people. Not only do they fight you, but they personally attack you. And in this case, this man has attacked you and he has harmed you and you are injured. Ya Rasulullah, make dua against these people. They said to him, he said, make dua against these people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands. Imagine that scene. What must be happening? The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been asked to make dua against his enemies, the enemies of Islam. He raises his hands. What must be the situation? I don't know if anyone was even breathing at the time, or people were holding their breath because they are going to now hear the Nabi make dua against the people. The malaika who are there must be holding their breath also. And then Rasulullah ﷺ made dua. What did he say? He said, Oh Allah, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He said, forgive them. He did not say, Oh Allah, destroy them. Wipe the earth clean. Remove them. No. He said, Oh Allah, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So who must you make dua for? I know we stand in the khutbah and we make dua against the enemies of Islam, and this is also the sunnah, this is part of the masnoon khutbah, nothing wrong with that. But who must make dua for rahmah? Who must make dua for hidayat of the people? Who must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should open the hearts of those who do not believe in him? Who must make dua that the hearts of the people must be softened and must be filled with the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hubb of Allah and his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I remind you and myself, my brothers and sisters, this is your job. This is our job. Allah did not send us to curse people. Allah sent us to make dua for people. The Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we make lot of dua. And we find that some duas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. But other duas, we make a lot of dua, but Allah does not accept this dua. We don't see the sign of this. I don't have a job, I'm asking Allah for a job, I do not get a job. I do not have children, I'm asking Allah for children, I get a child. Alhamdulillah. I get a job, alhamdulillah. But I'm asking Allah for children, I do not get children. I'm asking Allah, I'm sick. I make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures. We have seen some absolutely what, at least according to us, are miraculous cures. We have seen cases where people, a person was in, had cancer, terminal stages, last stage, nothing. They said, take him home. And then people made dua, and that person today, 10 years later, is walking happily. There's no sign of any cancer. They took him back to the hospital for test. They said, you brought the wrong man. Who is this? This is the same guy who you sent home. They said, we don't understand. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we make dua, gets accepted. We see that. There are other duas which we make which do not get accepted. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Uduni astajib lakum. Allah said, ask me, I will give you. So how do we understand this? The seerah is the tafsir of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this. And listen carefully, it's a very, very beautiful hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as in three ways. Allah does not reject any du'a. Allah accepts du'as in three ways. First way that Allah accepts du'a is that you ask for something, Allah gives you. We understand this very simple. We ask for something, you get it.
Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the second way in which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepts dua is that you ask for something, Allah does not give that thing to you, but at that time in your qadr, there is a calamity that would have befallen you. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala removes this calamity in exchange for this dua. May Allah keep you safe always. But wallah alam, maybe you are driving down a road and in your qadr was an accident. But you made dua for something. You didn't make dua for safety. You made dua for something which you are not getting. But in exchange for that dua, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala averted that accident for you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the third way in which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepts dua is that you ask for something Allah does not give you in this world. At that time, there is also no accident or no calamity, no disaster written in your qadr. Such du'as Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala keeps with him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of judgment when you stand before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will show you this du'a and he will say, this du'a you asked me, I gave you. And he will say, this other du'a you asked me and in exchange for that, I averted this calamity. Then we will be told, what was the calamity? And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then Allah will say, you also asked me for this thing. I did not give it to you in the world and there was no calamity at that time in your qadr. Now this dua is with me. Now ask me what you want and I will give you. Where is this conversation happening? On the day of judgment, before the arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalla. Having said this and having explained this, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you could understand the value of this third kind of dua, which you make to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala all your life, but you do not see that in this world. He said, if you could understand the value of this third kind of dua, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will wish that no dua of yours is accepted in this world. No dua. That every dua of yours which you make in this world is not accepted in this world. You don't see it in this world. But all those duas are mahfuz. They are safe with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on the day of judgment. When you can ask him whatever you want and he said, I will give you. So never lose hope in the making of dua. Final point. How to make dua, and I will close with that in a couple of minutes. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala taught us how to make dua. Allah told us in the ayat related to Zakariya alayhi salam three things. Iznada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. He said he asked Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in a soft voice. The presence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the essence of ubudiyat is humility. He asked Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala very humbly. A man came into the masjid and he started making dua. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your Rabb is not deaf. Don't shout. Don't shout. There has to be dignity in prayer. Dignity in worship. Sometimes we find people after Surah Al-Fatiha, when we say Ameen, Bil Jahar, some people say, Ameen! Why are you shouting? Why are you shouting? It is against the adab of Salah. It is against the dignity of prayer. Nida and khafiya. Small voice. Ubudiyat. And then what did Zakariya alayhi salam say? He talked about his own weaknesses. He said, oh Allah, my hair has become white. My bones have become weak. I am an old man. My wife, she is also an old woman. She is beyond the age of childbearing. So he is talking about his problems. And then when he makes dua, what does he say? He said, oh Allah, give me a waris. Give me someone to carry on this work of Da'watul Islam. Give me a child who will carry forward this work of Da'watul Islam. He does not say at that point in time, my wife is old, give me another wife, a younger wife, and give me a child from her. No. So three things we learn. Number one, humility before we go to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Number two, Talk about your problems. Tell Allah your story. Allah knows your story better than you do. But this is the taqaza. This is the requirement of ubudiyat, that we tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our story. And third thing is, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we ask, we don't ask in relation to our problems. We ask in relation to His majesty and grace. For Allah, there are no boundaries. The doctors told me I cannot be cured, but you are the best of doctors. You know the cure. Ya Allah, cure me. What do I care what the doctors tell me? Ask Allah in keeping with His grace and glory and majesty. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you that which you ask and give you more from His majesty and grace. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you all that you ask with khair and afiyah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afiyah fi ad-din wa dunya wa al-akhirah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to protect you from all the evil that you know and that you don't know. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you with istiqamat and steadfastness on Islam and Iman and Tawheed throughout your life and to take you in that state of obedience. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect you with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the shade of his arsh on a day when there is no shade except his shade. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that you meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his house and receive the water of Kawthar from his blessed hand. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to decree that you cross the sirat in the safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and enter Jannatul Firdaus ta'ala bi ghairi hisab. I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all your elders and youngsters alive or who have passed away. Those who have passed away, may Allah fill their khubur with noor. May Allah take away any adab of the qabr that might be there. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us what we ask and to give us that which we have not asked out of His majesty and grace. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما اتيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فانك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فانه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب اليك يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة
الله أكبر الله